No, it's all public. I mean, it's already happened somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you can see it tomorrow.
Yeah. There's a long line of cars at Goodwill right up the street from us. People were dropping off their goods. So we put a sign right across the street and said, why not donate locally at the ARC? Just drive down the street. And we're going to put a few more.
Good.
What's the drop boxes?
And then you've probably seen those green bins all over town. You know, we've been trying to get the Columbian to do a story, and I think a good resource guide for people donating. I mean, a lot of it's convenience, obviously, for people. You know, when they're figuring things out, it's different. If we could get a little more information on where things go and what, how much is going to and how much is the services, we would fare really well on the top, for sure. And getting that kind of information out so that people make informed donations. Working with Scott, you go to Columbia and all that.
Summertime's pretty big too with all the garage sales. They'll have garage sales where they just sweep it up and
dump it,
drop it off. Dump it. So yeah. To get their, to change their thinking from
the willpower.
Yeah.
It isn't Value Village pretty well packed to the walls already with stuff?
Yeah, we have other stores that they move around. We actually now don't just deliver to Value Village. We get a trailer, a semi-trailer, for our property, and then Savers, which is the for-profit corporation, sells all that stuff, distributes it where they need it, vendor system. And we're filling that baby up now. But it's a base model. I really like the idea of, you know, working with the drivers so if they see a customer, that there's a connection that they're actually helping someone. It's not just, and the more we can help our drivers be informed about communicating with the customers that are willing to donate to us. So that idea of the call girls and the trucks seemed like a kind of a baseline. Signature thing for the ARC, but we really need to diversify our resources and other opportunities that we'll be probably working on.
Sounds exciting.
A lot of competition out there. It's like dealing with a mob. People fight over neighborhoods.
Well, that's been going on for years. Call girls, mob. Kind of makes sense if you think about it.
I was thinking about trying to do a reality TV show with the ARC. I mean, it's like a lot of interesting things that go on.
I don't know about here, but I know where I grew up. The big problem was not just venues for conventions, but for parties and wedding receptions and stuff like that. I wonder if you have a space for that or not. Because that's another big earner. You got space, you know, it's a lot cheaper than anybody else, and just basic minimum stuff, all they want is the space, you know.
Right.
So that's, if you got space, that's another thing to think about.
Yeah. We now have a new, well, we're almost there, phone system, digital. We now, for the first time, have cell phones, as I mentioned. We could, that's only used 4 hours a day. And so, polling companies, people who have phone banks, you know, there's an opportunity maybe to enterprise that system out of other organizations that need a call center. So we're looking at a variety of things.
You're going to screen them, right?
Anyway, well, thanks for inviting us.
Thank you.
Thanks again for some more good news, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for your support.
Good luck, Ms. Angela.
Thank you.
And special thanks to Garth, who keeps me in the advocacy spirit, right? Quality, right?
Quality. Yeah.
We had some great discussion. She's like a little spirit guide there. All right. Good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And waltz up with transit?
Not a lot. Just to give you some basic changes that have occurred. Len Halsey, who used to be my boss, director of operations, retired at the end of May. And Jim Contant, who you probably have heard of or seen or met, who is a public information officer. Jim has been with C-TRAN for 27 years, is now the director of operations. And it's a good sign that our commitment to quality and also humanity is still in place. I'm working on some special projects that about 4 months ago I introduced you to. They're with the Human Services Council and also the Catholic Community Services through a grant called 5310, which is from MAP 21, which is the federal legislation for highways and transit. 5310 is a specific grant funding source that is to provide services above and beyond what is currently being provided by the transits in whatever area it's applied to. For us here in Clark County, it's looking at creative solutions to transportation needs that are above and beyond C-TRAN and C-VAN. And some of the things that we're doing, and one that I'm kind of excited about, is a volunteer transportation program. Catholic Community Services, which has been doing volunteer chore and a volunteer transportation program through their core programs, has contracted with us to provide additional efforts to try to get more volunteers to try to help people in the rural sections of Clark County get into services or get into our services so they can continue their journey to an ultimate destination. Along with that is a mobility management program that's going to be started up by Human Services Council that is going to be somewhat as a one-call, one-click resource information so that a person, all they know is that I need to get from point A to point B. I don't know what options I have. They can use that resource to find out not only what options that are the traditional options, which is C-TRAN, C-VAN, Medicaid transportation, but also private for profit options, volunteer options, and trying to coordinate all the different transportation providers in the area. And then the third project is called Reserve a Ride, which is a program that is an offshoot of the Medicaid transportation program. The problem with Medicaid transportation is that Medicaid limits where and to whom a person can be traveled to. So for example, Medicaid, if you're receiving Medicaid, you need to be low income, but in this particular case, it would be a person that has a disability or an individual 65 years and older. And while they may be able to get to the doctor's office, they wouldn't be able to get to the pharmacy because Medicaid doesn't pay for transportation to the pharmacy to get the medicine that the doctor prescribed in the visit that they went to. It also doesn't, you know, provide transportation to things like the grocery store, so the person can buy food to stay alive that allows them to see the doctor, that allows them to, you know. And so what we're going to be doing is funding an addition to the Reserve a Ride program, which is for, right now at least, life-sustaining trips, oncology treatments, dialysis, those kinds of programs. So we're getting into a more creative type of approach to trying to solve and have Clark County solve its own transportation issues. And as it grows, I'll be giving you more updates about how we're making some progress. One thing in particular that I'm excited about is the whole concept of time banking, which is something that the Commission on Aging is promoting that will be eventually housed at the Human Services Council that could be used as an inducement for people to help with providing volunteer transportation because they know not only will they get some minor reimbursement for their fuel, but they'll also get reimbursed in trading of labor without ever bringing up money or anything like that. So the basic concept is, one is, if I was to take Larry to a doctor's appointment and I'm with him 2 or 3 hours, let's say 3 hours, he's registered with the Our Impact, which is a local time bank, and I am, then what I can do is I can log that I provided this service to Larry for 3 hours, and then I can go to Darla, who can teach piano to my grandson who wants to learn piano. And so what happens is that I spend the 3 hours that I've worked with Larry and spend it with Darla, and she in turn provides that service to me in the form of piano lessons, and then she has 3 hours that she can then buy Dell's service with accounting to keep herself away from the IRS. So the whole idea is neighbors helping neighbors, and not necessarily looking to establish institutions, aka Clark County, C-Trans, C-Van, or any of the established, but looking at ourselves to try to help each other, a concept that goes back a few thousand years. So that's an exciting part of what we're going to be doing and what I'll be really involved with in the future.
Well, does that already exist, Our Impact?
Mm-hmm.
It's existing here.
It currently exists. It's on a beta test with Clark County. Clark County is initially hosting it through the Commission on Aging, and it's spelled HOURIMPACT. Right now, they're beta testing it on the west side of Vancouver, but that doesn't prevent people from signing up. There is a registration fee to pay for the administration of it, but eventually, I think enough people will be registered up over time that I think that it could get some major impact.
H-O-U-R?
H-O-U-R, Our.
Our what?
Impact.
T-Impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. .org. If you go to the Clark County Commission on Aging website on the Clark County page, they'll provide a link.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions for Walt? Thanks, Walt.
Mm-hmm.
So, Walt's Mary. And then update on Mark McCauley's commitment to double the number of people in support of employment in the county. So, right now, there are two departments who are in the middle of job analysis. And the posting is going to be open continuous. I'm looking at you, Helen, because this is the case. You have people that I can think of one who's in DVR who probably should apply. But it's going to be open and continuous. There is Trillium is the job agency because that's what was worked out. Mark McCauley. And so if somebody comes from another agency, they need to be willing to change job agencies because those four positions will be there. But it will be at the vendors will get the posting, and I haven't talked to Trish about who else needs to get the posting. It's not going to be advertised in the paper or anything because you have to be a customer of Developmental Disabilities Administration in order to qualify. Let's see, so there's a position in our department in HR, and in the Board of Counselors office, in their Mark's office. And that one's not quite at the job analysis point yet, but it's getting there. Then the fourth one, at least, there's treasurer. The treasurer is interested, and he's trying to bring a couple departments with him, a man that works for the treasurer, and that's going a little slower. So some ideas, but the assessor's department and another one, auditors, they're not sure about what to do. And so that's being worked on, but it's kind of not there yet. And then public works operations, has had a person in the past, and so that's where we're looking for the other one. But we actually think things could fall so that there's even more than four. So I told her not to stop, just keep going until somebody says no. It won't be me. Oh. I mean, it'll looks like it's going to work. It looks like it's, there will be hires probably by, before the next time we have a public meeting.
That's great.
And hopefully that all four of them will be hired by then, or at least on the verge.
I want to make sure that maybe he's invited back to give a report on.
It's on his, you want Mark to come and sit?
Well, it's just a suggestion. Yeah. He said he was going to double it at the last public event.
Well, he's coming. It's on his calendar for October 7th. So, yeah. He's already set for that one, but if you want him to say anything in September.
No, I'm just saying it would be kind of nice if he could report back to that same gathering a year later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And announce the fact of his success.
Yep.
That may be a motivating factor, too, as well.
He's very motivated.
Okay.
Keeps remembering that. Yeah, he's made that commitment. So anyway.
Is there anything that's being developed? And I'm thinking of an individual who worked in a bank and apparently was quite good at scanning documents and going to the computer and saving them into specified places on the. That kind of, you know, it's not really high tech and it's not.
No, but that is, yes, it may be.
Mm-hmm.
In the Board of Counselors in that office,
there's
talk about that. And the other department I didn't mention is development, where they specifically wanted something like that, but they've kind of stalled because they're really busy with having some new system, IT's development system. Don't ask me to explain it. Are you in the development department? Mike?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where parking fell in the city, but in the county, there's some major new system that they're implementing, and so they have not, they reached out, but then they just sort of stopped.
Yeah, I guess my concern is that there are individuals who are handicapped who can do those kinds of things.
Oh.
So we need to be thinking, in a sense, outside the box. It isn't just delivering mail or emptying trash and things like that.
None of those two items have been mentioned.
Okay.
So it's more like a lot of filing is mentioned, a lot of taking care of printers whenever you open the mail in our department, you have to have two people because checks come in. So being with the front desk person to open the mail, down the road if the person was able to ever answer the phone for breaks or something like that would be wonderful, but that would be down the road if we would start somebody there. I think they're in the process of identifying exactly what the tasks are now. So there's nothing, we don't need a garbage pickup because that happens at night in the county buildings. And a lot of people talked about scanning and simple data entry for that. So we'll be, you'll see the posting. I'll probably email. When I send it out to the agencies, I'll send it to you guys too. And you'll see that there's no food or fill or flowers at the county. We don't have any of those.
Mary, including the anomalous for the posting?
Yeah. You'll see the requirements. Could you explain that to the rest of the DDR office?
Sure.
That it's, you have to be a customer of Health and Disabilities. It says telephone, but in
in some of the, that's kind of depending. They're trying to get a pool like they do an office assistant too, where it's continuous recruitment. And then that would be the pool that people would interview from. So they're handling it very much like our generic job applications.
Good.
Good. Anyway, that's that.
Can I circle back up and do John and Karen's portion real quick?
Yes, did they call?
Okay. I've been talking with them. So Autism Empowerment reached out to the Northwest Health Foundation and got a preliminary grant to pull together our community and come up with ideas on the Northwest Health Foundation is putting forth a grant for it's like for 4 years, I think. And so and the first grant was just to pull together a group of people to decide what the community would want the bigger grant to be on. And so they got the first grant. They've developed the Southwest Washington Disability Alliance. And that group has been meeting several different times. We've been going out and meeting with the Northwest Health Foundation. I think there was, if I remember right, there was like 22 different organizations that was got the initial grant, and there will be like 15 organizations that get the big grant. And so as part of that, they have reached out to Mary and have asked Mary to be part of the Southwest Washington Disability Alliance, and they would like a letter of support for that gathering of entities that are coming together to try to work toward this bigger grant opportunity. They're looking at lots of different ideas, and Mary, you probably have more ideas because you were at the last meeting and I wasn't, on what that bigger grant will look like. But the Southwest Washington Disability Alliance, there's the parent-to-parent program through the ARC. The ARC is there, Parent Coalition is there. Autism Empowerment is there. There's
Miracle League.
The Miracle League is there. They've reached out to Cowlitz County ARC.
Top Soccer.
Top Soccer is there.
Friedrich's Ataxia.
Ataxia, yeah. Which, yeah, so Jennifer's there. Sorry, I always think of these things by people, not names. And so the Llamas are there. So really trying to pull in our disability organizations here in Southwest Washington so that we can try and come up with a really good foundation on what we would, what would benefit the community as a whole to put forward for this bigger grant in hopes that we could get the next set of funding.
Special Olympics.
Special Olympics, I think they have been invited and are there.
So. Is there anybody from the physical disabilities organizations like National Federation of the Blind, Southwest Washington Hearing and Deaf? You know, I mean, we had at one time, a long, long time ago that I know, from personal COHO and Habitat were two organizations that primarily focused in on people with physical disabilities, paraplegia, quadriplegia, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, that's one of the things right now, when I see the word alliance, I'm thinking not only intellectual or cognitive, but also physical.
Absolutely.
There is, you know, disability resources.
That's still active?
No, the director took off with the money and he's there to get found.
But we are working with the gentleman on the, I don't know if he's at the state level or the regional level, I think he's at the state level, that runs disability resources. And I've been trying to coax them back down here because I'm telling you, in our office, we have felt a huge disconnect and miss without that entity there. Mm-hmm. We were able to work so closely with them and really partner with them. And since they've been gone, it's definitely been felt.
Independent living centers.
Yeah,
that's who funds them, the independent living centers. So
that would be something that I would want to be part of all that, so that it's really more of a, you know, not only, like I said, cognitive, intellectual, but also physical as well. And mental health, I mean, is something that at least we deal with a lot as a disability with CVAN. There at least my experience is mental health usually isn't part of the groups that are considered the disability groups. They've always been on the fringe.
Well, see, if I were doing that one, I'd go to see them.
And I know...
Because they are, yeah, the consumer group that was...
And I know John and Karen have reached out to quite a few different groups, and it was based on our Clark County Disability Coalition that puts on the forum, and that group incorporates all of these guys. So I'm sure that John and Karen's reached out to them. I was unable to make the last meeting, so I don't know who all's actually agreed to participate or not. But she would, they would appreciate a letter of support if...
Does Mary write that, or what?
Well, I'll talk to them, and then we would, I would write it as co-writing. Yeah.
We have a lot of recommendations. I write, like, what I tell them, you write the letter, and I'll edit
yes.
it.
Yes.
Sign it.
Then I want to formally move that we endorse the Southwest Washington Disability Alliance, giving them a letter of endorsement from the committee.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so that gives us an ability to work on it. So they don't need it till October, but I'm afraid they need it in September.
Yeah.
But by the time we meet again, there would not be time to get it.
So now I get to not be a big black ring for one of the first times ever. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
good budget. Wow. I know, can you believe it? And then I stand up here and get excited about budgets. But I am very excited. So it took a while, but we finally got one. And it is one of the most amazing budgets that we've seen in a long time. There are things in here we didn't even ask for. There's a few things in here that are a little probably not to the best of our liking, but most of them are great. So just going down, wanted to show that community residential vendors received an increase in wages. There is an increase in the adult family home vendor increase. There is an increase in the providers through SEIU and with their health care, their training, their personal time, and retirement they got. The union did an excellent job in lobbying that. There was an increase for agency providers for it to be parity with individual providers. And then there's a licensure, so I'm doing providers first. There's a licensure around the ABA, which is the Applied Behavioral Analysis, which is a therapy that we use for our kiddos with autism. That's actually going to be paid by the providers, but the providers are very excited to be able to have that licensure occur. So that's the vendor side, and we're excited about that because, especially in residential, we were having such enormous turnover. There was like a 40-some percent rate in residential, and so for individuals who live in residential to be able to have a stable life living environment at all, it just really wasn't optional with that. So, but going back up and looking at direct services to individuals, the waiver slots from last year, which the governor had proposed cutting, there was no reductions to those, so we still have 1,000 basic waiver slots. We have 4,000 new individuals being added to the individual and family support waiver now, which was actually the waiver went to effect in May.
Say about what that
one did. Oh, well, I'm going to go through the budget, then we'll go back because there's a lot going on with DEA. We got some of the state employment and day program, and Mary, I'm hoping you can give more detail on that because not all of the state only employment funding was given, but a portion of it. So 2.8. Originally we asked for 4.8. So
state,
about
half. People, state only, there are some people who in the past have either not wanted to be on the waiver because their families were perhaps getting cash benefits under family support. And then there were some people who were earning enough that they weren't Medicaid eligible. But if they ever lost their job, which would be likely without some level of support, then all bets are off. Now, in Clark County, there are only 8 people in that situation. We seem to do things in eights, but and about 3 of those, 4 of those 8, I think. They're 12, but some of those are community access, aren't they? There were 8 in the employment.
I thought that there were 12, but okay.
I think the other 4 are community connections.
Okay.
And those people can probably be moved onto the waiver more easily because it's not a financial thing. The 8, there are some, like a couple of them at C-TRAN, who've been on the job a really long time. And there are some maneuvering of benefits that you can do, but there's also some, I think one guy, I don't know, he has to pay all his own way and everything, so I'm not sure how he's doing.
Do we know how many there was statewide?
400.
Statewide.
40 or something like that. So not so many in Clark. Yeah. In Seattle is most of it. And it's they started employment earlier a little bit, and the wages are higher for some of the folks. And again, some of the were people that we need to go back to, or the case management managers need to go back and say, you need to either go on the waiver, you know, if it's at all possible. Not in the high end.
That would be because of a safety net?
Some of them were receiving SSP, so it was a cash benefit. And if you go on the waiver, you lose your cash benefit. And so some families chose to stay off the waiver and continue to receive the cash benefit.
So there's one man who used to work for the city who that was the case, that his family didn't want him to go on the waiver. Now, he's retired from the city. He's doing community access. Therefore, there's no disincentive to his family at this point. So he should be moved to, even if it isn't a home and community-based waiver, even if it's one of the other waivers, his services can be provided and he can not use the state-only money.
So going on down the list, we got enhanced, expanded respite for children in the community.
Yay!
We got community respite for adults. Yay! I want us to create that to look like bed and breakfast so adults can like go away and have a phenomenal weekend and it not be like some not nice service, but some really incredible service with mints on their pillows.
But no peanuts, you know.
Yeah, no peanuts, no. So provide community respite stabilization report, which is good because they need to report on that. We'll go on down. The sheltered workshops. So there's been a lot of discussion about sheltered workshops. And so what came through was that they're not going to force people to move from sheltered workshops until the end of the 2016 session, unless a person, guardian, agrees to. And then there's going to be a report of impact back on those who do move for the legislature. Because there is such a, on the east side, there's a lot of, the east side of the state, there's a lot of discussion that because they're not an urban setting, that in the rural settings it's much harder to find employment opportunities. Now personally, I grew up in rural settings, and I think it would be much easier to find employment opportunities because you know everybody and you already have those relationships and those connections.
All the people in Skamania County are working, but this is where Washington has sheltered work. But having come from a national perspective, this is time limited because the feds are going to stop paying for it, and they should. As is some minimum wage, is kind of just a matter of time.
So what Mary has passed out to you is a letter from DRW addressing some of the issues. DRW actually went after one of the sheltered workshops, but only one, and not the others. And there was some pretty significant reasons why that particular one was addressed. And then there's a letter back from the Community Employment Alliance addressing those same issues. So you can enjoy that reading on your own time.
Yeah, it's they're the community, the Employment Alliance is, I think they're a little misinformed for this.
But we're Clark County, and we have no shelter workshops, and we've had shelter workshops for a long time, and we're thrilled with that. It doesn't mean that we still don't have areas we need to work on, but because of the leadership that this board has given and the leadership that Mary and her staff has given, we are so far above many places in the state and ready for when the federal government makes their changes. We're standing there and we're prepared for that. So we're very excited. Thank you for your leadership in those areas. This is very exciting. They're developing rules for adult family homes that specialize in young adults with developmental disabilities. It would be really nice to have young adults with disabilities not have to live under all the same rules that, or even in the same home as individuals with senior citizens. It would probably be really nice for the senior citizens, too. Having lived with some of those young 20s. So they funded the early intervention services so we can get the full match from the federal government. And then they're creating a social-emotional learning work group. They have added funding for autism screening through Medicaid waivers. That is huge. And they're adding, this is incredible, they're adding crisis intervention training for all new and existing law enforcement officers. Right? That's huge. We've been working on that community autism network group for a long time. And the law enforcement officers here in our community are so interested in trying to help and learn how to be proactive and learn how to do that. But I think this is phenomenal because in every behavior support plan I see, the bottom thing on there is call 911. And so it's nice that we're going to have some training around that.
Well, I think they've had a little bit, but they really haven't had much on autism. They've had mostly on mental health.
They're increasing, so we got a work group on the ABLE Act. The ABLE Act is that federal act that came down that says that families can save, individuals can save money as you would for a college fund or something else. Now individuals can save for other purposes that have developmental disabilities and it not count against their $2,000 resource limit with SSI.
Dramatically.
Yeah, it's $100,000. You have to... The person has to start the ABLE count prior to the 26th birthday, I think. And so this is a work group that's just going to figure out the rules and regs around that in Washington State. They increased the food stamp benefit from 75% of the federal level to 100% of the federal level beginning today, which is huge. And then, so there was all those compliance issues with the institution, so they put some money in there to fix them. They added some nursing and specialized services in the institutions. They added respite beds in existing and eight beds in some of the cottages for crisis stabilization at Yakima Valley. And enhanced respite for community crisis stabilization services. This was not included. So.
Why do you put a thumbs down on the ad respite and just hate the cuts?
Because,
you want to shut those down?
Yes. We would like to shut them down because they're segregated institutionalized settings. And historically, because Yakima Valley has been a nursing facility, when you have someone who's in crisis and when people, that's where, when people are in crisis from our community, they try to send them to Yakima Valley. And it hasn't been very successful because they're a nursing home facility, so they don't have the crisis stabilization training and technology and supports that they need that some of the other entities.
Well, this is the senator's buddies right here.
Yeah, probably.
Well, he actually said it when he was talking to
him. So that, but overall, it's a great budget, and we got it before today, and we never had to shut down, and life was good, and we're happy.
We got the maximum in every single column except that one.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It really is incredible. You know, I've been doing this for 20-some years. Yeah.
Transition, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
transition
yeah.
is right. Transition, high school transition is a priority for those waiver slots that are the third line down, and while they don't, the state case managers don't know the rules yet, I've been telling families to call the case manager, tell them you want to get on the basic plus waiver, and I'm thinking that you'll be able to get an authorization and then go to DR. I mean, there'll be a dance with DVR, because that will come in at some point. But for some people who need discovery first, maybe if we can get the authorization first, then you can get service, you can start services, then figure out when it's right to go to DVR. Yeah.
So a couple of
nobody knows the rules.
And speaking of not knowing rules, there's a couple other things that are happening with DDA that's changing that I just wanted to let you know about. So Individual and Family Support Services program went to a waiver. That started in May. So before, families would purchase a service, pay for a summer camp or pay for respite or whatever, and then the family would get reimbursed. They could, if it was respite, the person could get qualified and the state would pay that person directly. Now, because it's a waiver, we have a higher match, and that's good. But because before it was state only, so we had no match. So at least now we have a match, and we have more people that's going on. But that means that for the family to expend their dollars on Individual and Family Services, that whoever they expend those dollars with has to be an approved, contracted provider with the state. So it really limits what families can do with those dollars. Pros and cons to that, but that's going to be something families are bumping up against. We just found out this morning that the Community First Choice Option waiver, or it's not a waiver, the Community First Choice Option was signed today by CMS, and so that's the one that's going to pull all the Medicaid personal care out of the waivers and provide it over here under Community First Choice, and that one will increase our waiver match quite a bit. And that's happening not just
will
DDA increase the match, the waiver.
To what?
Oh, it's huge. It's like, I don't remember the numbers, Mary, but it gives us like 36 million more dollars or something.
No,
like
that's a 6% increase. That's right.
Yeah. And so that's what that work group was on last summer when we just figured out how we're going to spend all this extra money. We're just going to be rolling in. anyway, but it's mental health, it's aging, it's everybody that they pulled that out of. So that goes into effect. But one of the negative side effects with that is parent providers, so parents who live with their son or daughter and provide services to them as a provider after the age of 18, those dollars were tax exempt under Medicaid personal care because it was a 1915C waiver. And CFCO, those dollars that the parent's going to be paid to do that exact same service are now not going to be tax exempt under the IRS.
It wasn't a C with the waiver, it was a waiver. It wasn't in the state plan. Now it's in the state plan. So everybody knows. But it wasn't 1915C.
Oh, I think that's what the letter said going out to families, but that doesn't mean it's accurate, Mary, and I trust you more than
I think that's the other picture.
Yeah. And so families now are going to have to pay income tax on the wages that they earn. So what we're doing across the state is we're rallying the parent coalition and trying to get to our federal delegations and try to get the feds to put pressure on the IRS to make some changes. But that's happening. And then,
aren't those like a typical person getting paid under that as a caregiver? Are their wages fairly low, the amount of hours that they let them?
It depends.
So it just depending, might not be taxed very much, depending on, I guess.
Some things, it depends, well, yes, and it also depends on the individual. Individuals that need significant level of care can actually get, two or 300 hours a month. Mm-hmm. And so then you're talking about a significant higher amount of individuals taxed. Yeah. And that's on top of the union stuff that comes out.
Well, just to play the devil's advocate, why shouldn't
it? Because before it fell under the same rules like foster care, because you're living with someone and providing care for them, there's some interesting labor laws there because there's no way they could pay them to provide 24/7 care. You can't, they're not paying the minimum wage to provide the care, right? So they're only paying them for a portion of it. So it was under this other umbrella, right? Because they're really not paying the parents for all the care that the parents are providing. They're only paying them for a portion of the care that the parents are providing. So same with like foster care. It's more of a reimbursement of your time than it was an actual payment for your service. And so, yeah, so that's the reason on the other side. It fell under the same rule as the foster care. And if that wasn't enough, how we're paying our providers is changing. And so they're going to provider one payment service system, which I guess we have to do because our previous provider system is no longer in compliance with the federal government. So this goes into effect in January. Families will be getting lots of information on this, but up until now, families could get an invoice, they could pick up the phone, call in their hours, and it was fine, it wasn't a big deal. Now families are going to need to go online and actually do drop-down boxes in a computer and say, I spent this much time making lunch or this much time doing this, and break their time down per the tasks in the assessment. From a employment perspective, it makes way more sense. From a parent supporting a child, it's going to be a huge challenge for families. Peggy, the lady through DSHS and Department of Health that's working on this, is just a doll. And she's willing to come down and train families. She wants to do anything she can to try and make this easier for families. They have no choice. They have to do this. But it is. Families are getting a lot thrown at them right now. And so I guess that's just kind of the bottom line. Families are grumpy right now. It may not just be the heat. Any questions?
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you. Chairman, I move that the board draft a letter expressing our thanks and gratitude to Darla for all the hard work, many hours that she has put into working with the legislature and helping to push through these things, as well as all the other information she can give us for us.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, guys.
You set the date. We're saving October 7th as the date. And 4-6. Are we at the heat turn again?
Yes. Jim was going to be separate. When was that?
We have a meet of the committee, which I'm trying to remember. There's Walt, Mary, Ted, Scott, and Susan. That's why she emailed today. And she can't come at 1 o'clock anyway, but I know those folks are on the committee. Anybody else?
What day?
July
9th.
July 9th. July 9th, at 1 o'clock.
Legacy.
Legacy.
Salmon Creek.
Salmon Creek, yeah. Sixth on the sixth floor.
I'll be there. Okay.
Anybody else?
Sure, we're good, but if you want to come.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Never want to go to a meeting. I don't have to go.
Well, this is just the first organizing one, so I'll tell you what. But
so we're going to meet the
Scott
woman again
there,
from Portland, right?
Yes.
They're going to be turning over or handing over.
Well, this year she'll work with them. Anyway.
Well, the big thing is we have a date, we have a location.
That was the biggie. And now
what's the date?
October 7th. It's the same day as the usual work session. So it's perfect.
First Wednesday.
At the Heathman. And you're welcome to come.
Four o'clock.
Yeah, please come.
Sure.
And you guys, you also, if you want, when we get the nomination thing, CDR should get an opportunity to nominate.
The whole month for the first.
It's kind of a good time. And so that's the major news there. The meeting, start organizing and probably get nomination forms out real quick.
Any new business? Motion to adjourn.
Early adjournment.